but I passed the breath test. This is McDaniel Reynolds with the Reynolds Defense Firm, and we specialize in one thing. We represent good people facing DUI charges. While you know that it's illegal to drive with a 0.08 or greater blood alcohol content, not everyone knows that you could be arrested in Oregon for an alcohol DUI even if you blow well under a 0.08. This is a pretty loose standard, and it's a way that many of the good people we represent find themselves needing our help when they thought they were doing everything right. The Reynolds Defense Firm. We're solid, we're here if you need us, and we are very good at what we do.
BFFT. From the PacWest Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
Well, today, the organization that oversees the College Football Hall of Fame made a change to their induction criteria. And they lowered the bar just a little bit, or tweaked it, or maybe they just are acknowledging that they have room in the Hall of Fame for Mike Leach. Because they have dropped their win percentage criteria that once was 60% win percentage. They dropped it to 595, 59.5. Mike Leach at 596 win percentage all time. He'll get in 2027. He'll be a first ballot, usher him right into the Hall of Fame. His impact on college athletics and college football in particular, unmistakable. The guy who hired him at Washington State is coming up as our next guest. Bill Moose, former Oregon AD, was the athletic director at Washington State. And here you go, in November of 2011, Bill Moose gets on an airplane and another airplane looking to find his next football coach. He had just moved on from Paul Wolf, who was 9-40 in four seasons. Cougars were cratering. Hadn't been to a bowl game since 2003. It had been eight seasons. And Bill Moose knew what it would take to win. His father was a Washington State offensive tackle. He knew what the program was capable of. He also knew where rock bottom was. And Bill Moose joining us now to talk a little bit about Mike Leach. I have to know about this job interview that Bill Moose gave to Mike Leach back in the day. The story goes that you flew to Key West to meet with Mike Leach. I need to know more, but where are you today? Let's start there, Bill Moose.
Well, hi, John, and thank you for having me on the show. I enjoy reading your good work every day, and it's always been fun to have a chance to visit with you. I'm up here at our ranch. My wife and I designed and built, actually, when we left Oregon back in 2007, and I'm staying busy up here and having a good time and watching the crazy world out there, and that includes college athletics. So thanks for having me on.
You bet. I want to get to all of this. We're going to have a nice chat here, but let's go back to 2011, November of 2011. Your program is looking for a coach. What led you to Key West, Florida? Take us through that whole interview. You fly in there. I have to think it was a very different kind of job interview.
Well, as maybe some of your listeners know, Washington State's my alma mater. I had the privilege of getting my degree there and playing football for the Cougars way back in the late 60s and early 70s. So after having a little reprieve from college athletics after 3 years, Elson Floyd, the then president, offered me the job, and I was refreshed and ready to go and came back. But the one thing I told him when he offered me the job was, I'm not going to go down there and be a maintenance man. We need to build facilities. We need to recruit the very best talent in the country. And we need to hire top and retain, that's important, the top coaches in the country. And I said, to do that, you're going to have my back. And he did. That led to, after a couple of years of really struggling, my first 2 years and Paul Wolf's third and fourth, that I made the decision that I needed to go and look for a change. But I did it under the radar. I didn't want to disrupt the players and the current coaches, and it didn't need to be a front page deal. So I used a conduit, actually a guy I knew in Eugene that I used to talk to Mike Leach's agent. I was intrigued with Leach. He was out of a job unjustly, if you recall, John, and was dying to get back into coaching. And I felt we needed something at Washington State that could kickstart that thing and entertain the fans while the coach was building the program. So through that conduit, got it set up and finally felt in November, the season was still going, that we needed to get together face-to-face. And that's when, again, under the radar, I flew to Key West. Now, John, you know, there are no direct flights from Pullman, Washington to Key West, Florida. It was an all-day deal. I think I had three layovers, and I got in there fairly late in the day, probably 6 o'clock in the evening. And it had all been arranged again through my contacts to meet with him the next morning at 8 o'clock. And I think that's where you're trying to get me to, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, so let's set the scene. You're in Key West. You know, you have a general idea of where he lives, and, you know, you probably pick a hotel, and is this where you're going to have the meeting, the interview?
Yeah, and I believe it was the Hyatt in Key West. And, you know, it wasn't my first rodeo. I've interviewed some coaches, you know, throughout my career. So I had everything set up and already. I had the renderings of the new stadium expansion and the football operations building, and also our new deal with Nike that the top people from that I got to know when I was at Oregon came in to really help me not rebrand, but refresh the brand and redo our uniforms and such. So I had all that glitter out there on the couches and everything ready for him, and all the pastries and juices, all that. But as I went to dinner that night, I noticed, hey, this got to be a casual deal. So I got word to Leach, again, through my folks, that, hey, let's just go casual. So to me, I didn't have, you know, shorts or anything, or even jeans. That meant taking my necktie off and my suit coat and leaving it in the closet and loosening my shirt. And I sat down. I was ready, all set to go for an 8 o'clock interview, and there was no Leach, and that wasn't a good sign for me. And 8:15, still nobody. 8:30, finally a knock on the door, and I answered. There's a little breezeway outside the door, and then the parking lot in the background, and there as I opened the door was my guy, dressed in cargo shorts, V-neck white T-shirt, flip-flops, about a 3-day growth, and a cup of coffee in a styrofoam cup. And he looks at me and he goes, if you've talked to Mike, he thought the world of you. And he goes, I got the message. This is supposed to be casual. And I go, yeah, you look great. No problem. And I look over his shoulder out the parking lot, and I go, boy, at that parking lot's full. Did you find a place to park? And he goes, well, I rode my bike. I think this is a major college football coaching position. And I'm thinking, okay. He goes, I don't have a car. And I go, okay. And I go, well, come on in. And I had him come in, and as I closed the door, I'm saying to myself, what in the hell have I gotten myself into here? And so I asked him, you know, sit down, get, he'd splash a little more coffee in his styrofoam cup. And I said, Mike, let me, I'm thrilled to be talking to you today. And let me tell you the state of Washington State football. And I'm going to most likely be making a change here. And in leadership. And as soon as I hit leadership, that hit one of his buttons. And again, you've interviewed him. You hit one of his buttons, you might as well cross your legs and pour yourself a cup of coffee, because you're not going to talk for a while. And so when I hit leadership, immediately we're into, he takes over, and we're into Winston Churchill and how the Prime Minister basically won World War II. And that segued into General George Patton and how he inspired his troops. That combined was about 30 or 40 minutes. And that then went into Geronimo, the Apache chief, and his leadership style. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy would be fun to drink beer and BS with, but I'm not sure he can coach my football program. And we talked a little longer, and I found out, you know, I knew he was from Cody, Wyoming, and I brought that up, and the next 30 minutes was about missing school days and stuff during the winters and snow blowers and all of that. And and then he asked if he could use the restroom, and I'm thinking, how am I going to get through the next 3 hours of this? But John, he came back, and I started to talk to him about the state of our program in Pullman, and it got really interesting after that. And I figured I had this may be the guy that can take us out of the doldrums that we were suffering, and but it wasn't going to be overnight. And the next 3 hours was extremely interesting. And if I may say, just to take another few seconds, what I was talking about primarily was lack of discipline, non-engagement, bad academic performance, and all these things which, you know, people think of Mike Leach and how innovative he was with his offense and all that, but he was very old school when it came to things like discipline and academics. And it took us a few years to get that ship turned around, and it was tough sledding, John. The fans, as you know, when you make a big hire like that, it was a national hire. Other people wanted to go after Mike Leach. Kansas had the plane gassed up and ready to go. Old Miss was putting together a 21-person search committee. There were three schools, other schools in the Pac-12. Illinois was coming after him, and I just snuck in under the radar and snuck the pirate out of there, and the rest is history.
Yeah, and I think some of it is you connected with him, because, correct me if I'm wrong, you guys, your wife and Mike and his wife, you guys vacationed together. You guys went to the Bahamas, if I remember that correctly.
Well, we did, that actually was after we had left. My wife and I had left Washington State, and I was the AD at Nebraska. Mm. But that's how good of friends we were, you know, all through that. And the respect and confidence we had in each other, that we went to the Bahamas with some other people, mutual friends, and had a great time. And John, that had to been 2018 or so, or 17 or 18. A little bit different environment than in that hotel room back in 2012.
Bill Moose with us, former Washington State athletic director, former Oregon AD, Nebraska AD. Leach, you know, probably achieved beyond your wildest dreams. 8 seasons there, he goes 55-47, 5 straight bowl games, wins 11 games in 2018, 2-time Pac-12 Coach of the Year. I know when you left Washington State for Nebraska, I think a part of his heart broke because you were the guy that found him and you guys worked so well together, the synergy you had. What was that conversation like when you had to come to him and say, hey, I'm leaving, I'm going to another job?
Well, let me interject one little piece, and I will fold into that. In 2012, John, there were four openings for head football coaches in the Pac-12. Arizona State, Arizona, UCLA, and, of course, ours at Washington State. And all four of those hires, and you doing the great research you do, you can probably already know this, but high-caliber coaches from Power 5 programs took those jobs. Now, you had Arizona State with Todd Graham, who came from Pitt. Rich Rodriguez had been at Michigan, and he went to Arizona. Jim Mora had been the head coach for the Atlanta Falcons, and he ended up at UCLA. And then, of course, I had Mike Leach. And those other three schools, right off the bat, had instant success. But and those were all three good coaches. But a big part of that was the fact that they had a cupboard full of great players. And the first year, Graham at Arizona State went 8-5. Rich Rod went 8-5. Mora went 9-4 or 9-5. And we went, I think we went, we won three games. And the next year, you know, we didn't do much better. We actually made it into the New Mexico Bowl, but ended up having a 6-7 season. And then the third year, we only won three games again. And so, you know, my fans were going, hey, what's wrong with our guy? You hired the wrong guy. But I knew, and always have, that if you're going to build it, you better build it right on solid footings and something that can sustain itself. And all three of those other coaches, John, were fired by 2017. And that was the same season that Mike Leach went 9-4, and after going 17-9 over the previous 2 years, and 1 year before he went 11-2, which is the most wins in WSU history. So he was the right guy. We were close. He believed in me, and I let him coach his team. It was a beautiful, beautiful situation. We lost Elson Floyd, who, you know, I told Mike back when we were struggling, hey, you've got a AD that believes in you, and mm-hmm. I've got a president that believes in me. Bring it on. We're in this for the long run. And so, you know, that kind of faith and commitment,
sure,
coming from the top, you know, was important. So when I decided to leave in 2017, it was you talk about under the radar. Nobody knew that, not even our children, until it was announced in Lincoln in mid-October. And the first person I called even before my president was Mike Leach. And he was very complimentary but I know it hurt him because he knew that he was at Washington State because of the connection we'd made and the relationship that we had. And he just went on winning. I mean, that 11-2 season was after my time, and of course he ended up at Mississippi State and was doing great things there, you know, a few years later.
It's a business, but it's neat to see the way that people come together. We're talking to Bill Moose, former athletic director at Oregon and Washington State and Nebraska as well. Let me ask you, because we're watching some changes happen, obviously, with the Pac-12 now being a different conference and consolidation and the Power Four and the SEC and the Big Ten wanting automatic berths and trying to, you know, get more and more turf. What do you make of what you see happening in the ecosystem?
You know, the short answer, John, is I'm appalled with it. I'm not going to say I'm old school. I'm just, it's not what I signed up for over 50 years ago when I was a college athlete myself. And the two things I really embraced way back then was the value of the education that I was offered and also the camaraderie of my teammates. And at first glance and even second and third glance, those things aren't important anymore. It's about me, me, me. Where can I go to get me where I want to go? You got guys transferring every year with the transfer rules and then the NIL. And, you know, I've always had a belief in not just a football or basketball or softball team or whatever, that the worst thing that you can see happen is a division in the locker room. And I with my programs, I want to treat everybody equal. People all need to take pride in what they do. But when you start implementing and incorporating the things I just mentioned, you're dividing the locker room and you're going away from the essentials that brought me into the business. And if I can take that one step further, and please bear with me, I worked my entire career in college athletics, and especially my almost 30 years as a Division I AD, in moving towards parity. So that kid growing up dreaming of playing major college football, for example, could dream of a Rose Bowl and playing for a national championship. And through a variety of ways, I worked hard. And one example is, again, behind the scenes, forming the coalition when I was at Washington State with the members of the Pac-12 after Colorado and Utah came in to get the equal revenue distribution. And that story is a dandy in itself. But that opened the doors for everybody to have a chance to take the field on any given Saturday or wherever, whenever you play anymore, and have a chance to win. And, you know, I was always very proud of that and felt good about the parity piece. And then the greed and the me-first attitudes did away with that. And now we're talking about, hey, if you're in the Big Ten and the SEC, you're it, and everybody else is way behind and not going to catch you. And we want automatic bursts in the playoffs and everything else. And the world you and I grew up in, John, is condensing to just a small few, and we're back to the haves and have-nots that occupied this business back when I got in it in the 60s and 70s.
I'm looking at what's happening and thinking, you know, somebody has to be looking out for the greater good. Do you believe that these conference commissioners, any of them, hear that voice, or are they only prone to be serving their presidents in their best interests?
I know that Jim Phillips, dear friend, commissioner of the ACC, formerly the AD at Northwestern, very good friend, very good individual. I know that my old friend Bob Bowlesby, who was the commissioner in the Big 12, again, had been at Stanford during my time at Washington State. I know where their heart is, and it's right where mine is. I also can tell you that I developed a very good friendship with Jim Delaney. And Jim Delaney saw the value of the greater good. He was the commissioner of the Big Ten when I was hired at Nebraska. But what we have in a lot of those leadership roles now are not people that that have had a career in college athletics. They're entertainment people, they're television executives and all this. and it takes you right down the path of where we are today, that it's all entertainment and it's about the superstars, and tune in. See, I often say the best thing that ever happened to college athletics was television. That revenue I referred to a moment ago in the equal distribution allowed everybody to have a chance. On the other hand, the worst thing that ever happened to college athletics was television. Mm. All of a sudden, those 1:30 in the afternoon on an autumn fall pageantry and the color of college football, that could be played any night now or any time, 9:30 in the morning. All of a sudden, fans could say, "Hey, I'm not coming to the game Saturday. If the weather's kind of bad, I'm going to have a beer at home and watch it with the guys." And yet, those pots of money have evolved to dictate where the industry is today.
We're talking to Bill Moos, the longtime athletic director in college athletics, but both at Oregon and Washington State, in addition at Nebraska. Mike Leach, it appears as though there's room for him in the College Hall of Fame. I think he belongs there, his impact on the game. You're the guy that hired him at Washington State. I love the story of him showing up in the flip-flops. There's a caller who's called in who has a question for you, and I'm gonna put the caller on, and let's see where this goes. But JD in Castle Rock, you're on with Bill Moos. I believe you have a question about Bill Moos dunking a basketball. Go ahead.
Do you recall middle school? I taught with a gentleman that coached at when you were at Olympia. He was at Centralia his first year, and of course, in middle school, seventh grade was first, and then you guys were the eighth grade game afterwards. But he didn't know Sikkim because he just started out. He was 21 years old, and he was in the locker room with his little seventh graders, and the eighth grade coach came in and said, "Hey, come here, you got to see this." He goes out, and you were out dunking in warmups. Do you recall that story?
Oh yeah, it very well remember it. I was actually interesting. I was raised in a one horse town on a wheat and cattle ranch in eastern Washington, a four room country schoolhouse. I had people early in my life that were so instrumental in developing me and being goal oriented. And one was a coach. When I was in grade school, and then my dad, when there was a change in the governorship, my dad was appointed director of agriculture. So I moved from Olympia. I had eight kids in my class, one teacher for two grades, to eventually be a student and play athletics in the second largest high school in the state of Washington. But I can laugh at myself. I looked at basketball pictures when I was still in the little town of Edwall, and I'm taller than the coach. I look like Jethro Bodine in the Beverly Hillbillies. And I was shaving. I once said to my wife, "Honey, I was shaving in the fifth grade." She said, "Well, you should have been. You were 17 years old." Well, that's not true, but I was well-developed, and we're out in warm-ups, and a couple times in practice that week, I went up, you know, just for a lay-in, and boom, the rim was about, you know, under my wrist. So I said, "What the heck?" And I slammed it, and everybody went, "Whoa, whoa." And so the game you're talking about, I said, "Why not do this in warm-ups?" And I did, and everybody was going, "Whoa, whoa." And then by the next week, all the high school coaches were at the game and kind of broke through and helped me make the transition to the big city.
I love it. Hey, look, I appreciate you coming on to tell some stories, Bill Moos, and your contributions, of course, to college athletics are noted. We'll get you back on another time because I think you have more to talk about, and we can drill down a little bit on, you know, what's going on and what the future looks like. But have fun on the ranch, and we'll check in with you another time.
Thanks so much, John. Always fun to visit. Always has been. Thank you.
Take care. There he goes, former Oregon, Washington State, and Nebraska athletic director Bill Moos. Leave it here.